We begin the Karen Daf Masech, the Sukkah Daf Chaf. We begin 8 lines down for the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous Daf. And that is, we had brought on the previous Mishnah, a machlekes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer regarding making a schach out of machtzelis konim, out of a mat made out of reeds. Now, there was a discussion in the Gemara exactly what was the two opinions and what were they arguing about. So Rava ultimately said that everyone agrees by machtzelis konim gedoyla, by a large mat made out of reeds, that stama is going to be lesichuch. That generally, it's assumed that it's made for schach purposes. If one designates it as for shchiva, for laying purposes, then it'll be a kli, it'll be makabel tumma, and then it'll be a possible schach. But generally, it's assumed that since there was a contradiction of the indications of what he was saying in the Mishnah regarding what would be the default position, the stama, Rav ultimately explained that the stama is lesichuch, and that's what his next statement in Tanakhama means when he says, if you're making lesichuch, it means the default position would be lesichuch. If you want to make a leshchiva, then it's going to be mekabel tuma and pasul b'schach. However, that was only for machtzelis konim gedoyla. However, he did not mention machtzelis konim ketana, a small mat made out of reeds, because that actually would hold that the default position would be leshchiva, it would be for reclining purposes, hence pasul b'schach. Whereas Rebbe Elazar, when he said the terms that achas ketana v'achas gedayla, that no, there is no difference between the small mat made out of reeds and the large one. That would be just like what the Tanakhama held regarding a large one, that stama would be lesichuch, that generally its construction would be assumed that it's made for schach purposes, not for reclining. The same thing would apply to the small one, and therefore it comes that Rebbe Elazar is more lenient in regards to halacha of sichuch. Now on that, the Gemara continues, Omale Abai responded to Rava, based on his interpretation that the Homa Chleikis in our Mishnah between Blez and Tanakhama was regarding, can you use the stoma of a small mat reed, about the mat made out of reeds, can you say that stoma there is lesichuch or not? And that Tanakhama says it's not lesichuch, and Rebbe Elazar holds it is lesichuch. But on that, Abai asked Rava, Ihachi, if that's the case, that Rebbe Elazar is coming to say that a katana is like a gedoyla, in other words, just like gedoyla, the Tanakhama says, tam is lesichuch, which is not the case by katana. On that, Rebbe Elazar argues and says, no, that the katana is the same thing as a gedoyla. It will also be stama lesichuch in kosher for schach. If that's the case, the way you're explaining Rava, then Rebbe Elazar says in our Mishnah these words, he says, achas ketana v'achas gedoyla. He says that whether it's a small or whether it's large, that's how you're interpreting it. It means that just like large stama lesichuch, so too small. But achas ketana, achas gedoyla, achas ketana mibayle. It shouldn't say first ketana then gedoyla. It should first say gedoyla then ketana, like Rashi explains. That saying achas gedoyla v'achas ketana, would be mashma, what your Rava trying to say, that the small mat is the same as the large mat. Because what essentially it means when it says that is that if we'd first say achas gedoyla v'achas ketana, it would mean to say that just like it's gedoyla, just like it's ketana. In other words, it is the same thing and it would not have a different halacha. Because as Rashi explains, the custom of the Tanoim, wherever they write these types of terminologies, the more elementary halacha is the one that's mentioned first. And then the second one that's mentioned is coming to say that, oh, it's just like the previous one, like Rashi brings many different examples from Masechtas Rosh Hashanah and Baba Kama, all different places where we find this idea. So if it's what you're trying to say, that it's that Rebbe Elazar is coming to say that the small one is just like the large one, it shouldn't say first ketana then gedoyla. It should first say achas gedoyla, which means say that we know, and even achas ketana would have the same halacha. But wait, another question Abai asks on Rav is to the contrary. How do you know, the way you're saying it, that Rebbe Elazar is the one that's being lenient, and that is the Tanakhama only talks about one type of mat. The machtzelis of konim, a large mat made out of reeds. Machtzelis konim gedoyla. Doesn't mention the small one. Now that, Rebbe, you're saying that, oh, there the Tanakhama holds the stama is lesichuch, but not by a small one, there he'd be machmer. Whereas Rebbe Elazar's makel that, no, he holds even by a small one. But maybe, ki pligi, maybe it's not true, maybe when they're arguing, it's begedoylahu de pligi. Maybe actually, Rebbe Elazar is the more machmer one. And they're arguing just by the large mat made out of reeds. Rebbe Elazar l'chumra. And that is there he's going to say stringently that even by the large mat made out of reeds, where the Tanakhama holds their stomach is l'sichuch, he'll hold that no, even there it'll be stomach l'shchiva, that it'll be generally for reclining purposes, which will make it a kli, and therefore mekabel tumah, and hence, pasul v'schach, yitan like l'na b'raisa. B'raisa says, this case of our Mishnah, Machtzelis hakonim, regarding the mat made out of reeds, begdoyla, when it's large one, mesachimba, then you can use it for schach. Rebbe Eliezer Eimer, he says, im ein mekabelis tuma, if it's not susceptible, if it cannot receive tuma, in other words, if it was made explicitly for the purpose of sichuch, then yes, then misachim ba, then you can use it for schach. But if not, if you didn't specifically designate it for that, then not. So obviously you see that regarding to the Tanikamon, stama, as we see in our Mishnah, of a gedoyla is l'sichuch. But Rabbi Eliezer actually is being machmer, not lenient, and he argues on that case of the gedoyla that stama would be l'shchiva for reclining purposes. So that's not like the way Rabbi wanted to say. So we have two questions on Rabbi's interpretation of what was the machlekes of the Mishnah, first of all, and the second question that the Gemara had started off on the previous daf, which was these contradictory indications of what would be the stama, the default position of a machzelis gedoyla of kanim. Is it stama l'shchiva or is it stama l'sichuch? Now, Rava's interpretation obviously is untenable because we see that actually Rabbi Elazar is the more machmer and he's not arguing on the ketana, he's arguing on the gedoyla that even there will be stama l'shchiva. So Elam Rapapa, rather Rapapa says a different interpretation. In our Mishnah, first of all, to resolve the contradictory indications of the Tanakama, where he says if you made it l'shchiva, it's going to be like this, or you made it l'sichuch, it's going to be like this, but those are contradictory. What would be by stama? Which one would it be? And also what Samachlik is, so he says that regarding biktanam, regarding a small mat made out of reeds, so he's saying in the sense, the opposite of what Rav had said. Going along the lines of how the Braiser brought it down. No one argues that there the stama, the default position of the small one, which is the more one that is more appropriate for reclining purposes, there everyone would agree that the default position is that it's made for reclining. Hence, it's going to be puzzle for sukkah. Keep pligi b'gedayla. When do they argue is regarding a large mat made out of reeds? And that is Tanakama Savar Stam Gedoyla Sichu. The Tanakama, as he says in our Mishnah, as we brought in the Braisa, that he holds that a large mat, the stama, if it's unspecified, that's for Sichuch. Rabbi Elazar Savar the Stam Gedoyla Nam L'Shchiva. Whereas Rabbi Elazar, he's more machmil than no, even by a general one of a large one, is going to be for reclining purposes. Now, Umaya Sol L'Shchiva Dekama. Now, what does Rabbi Elazar mean when he says that if it's made for reclining purposes? So Hachikam, this is what he meant to say, because he was equating, he says, no, Ben Gedayla, Ben Gitan, he said there's no difference. So what Hachikam was, Stam Asiyasam, the main construction, as Nami L'Shchiva, is also for reclining purposes, in other words, by both the large one, because the small one, everyone agrees is L'Shchiva, according to this version of Rapapa. The whole Machlik is regarding the large one, which is the case that the Tanakam is talking about, and that what he means to say when Asla L'Shchiva is that that's the default position, that it's made for reclining ad avla sichach, until it's made for sichach, for schach purposes to be used as a roof. Now, and therefore the conclusion of this is, as we said originally before Rava, which was the beginning of the Gemara, when that had posed a question on the Mishnah, that is, in the understanding of the Tanakhama's opinion, that there were two halves to the statement. The first half, which is called the Reisha, was talking about by a large mat made of reeds, as he starts up the words in the Mishnah, Machzelis Kan Megedayla. Now, the end of his statement was talking about a katana, a small mat made of reeds. And this is what he was saying. And he was saying that if it's a small mat made out of reeds, and you made it explicitly for sichich purposes, then Mesachim Ba, then you could use it for schach. But stama, by the small mat made out of reeds, that would be L'Shchiva, which the Gemara had originally proposed to answer that what was this contradictory indications where the first half was talking about a large mat made of the reeds, where stama is l'sichuch, and then only if you designated l'shchiva would it be possible, whereas the second half of a statement, which made it sound like a contradictory indication, was talking about a small mat made of the reeds, and therefore it's not difficult, where the stama is l'shchiva, and it's only going to be kosher if you made it l'sichuch. Now, then the question was, but then what's Rabbi Eliezer talking about? If he says that ben ketana ben gedoyla, there you have the same contradictory indications, and you cannot give the answer of one is talking about gedoyla, one is talking about a ketana. So that is what the Gemara is coming out now and saying, that what Rabbi Elazar is coming to say is that even by a large mat made out of reeds, it's the same as the small mat made out of reeds, which is that when you do it stam, then the default position is going to be for reclining purposes, and therefore it's mekabel tuma, and therefore you can't use it for schach. And that's what, when he says asol l'shchiva, it's not an indication of that you're doing it explicitly for that, but that the default would be l'sichach. No, it means to say that that is the default. However, that's what he continues, and he says that, however, if you made it for sichach purposes, then you can use it for schach, and it will not be mekabel tumah, hence it will be kosher for schach, But again, he argues and he holds that achas katana, the achas gedayla, which again, that's going in the appropriate order, which is to say that not only is katana going to be stumble l'shchiva and pasul for schach, but even the gedayla is going to be, and this is what he argues on the Tanna Kamma, will also be considered stumble l'shchiva, and hence will be pasul to be used for schach. Now the Gemara continues on this topic of machzalis and the topic of our Mishnah. So Torah b'Nun Lina Braisa, machzalis shel shifa v'shel gemi, which these are soft types of plants that grow from the ground, and therefore the halacha is that gedayla, a large mat of these types of shifa and gemi, which stama is going to be l'sichuk purposes, and therefore they're mesachim ba. So there you could use a eschach. However, katana, and again keeping in mind because they're soft, ein mesachim ba. Then you cannot use it for eschach, and that's because generally, the stomach of these items, since they're very soft, would be used for reclining purposes, and that there won't be a discrepancy, which there will be for the future cases of the brisa, between whether if it's what's called gedula, braided, where it's thick and it's not smooth, and or there won't be a difference if it's going to be woven, which is smooth, and that's what we're saying over here, that if they're large, fine, then you can use it for eschach, because large things generally are not used for reclining purposes, but if it's small, you cannot use it for schach. And again, there's not going to be a difference no matter how it's made, even if it's smooth or not smooth, because since it's soft, either way the stomach will be l'shchiva. However, the next item of the braisa, there will be a difference when they're small, how they're constructed, because shalkanim, regarding reeds which are hard, and also the shalchilos, that of sedge, which its stem, its stalk is very thick, then there's a difference going to be regarding how they're made. Gedula, if they're braided, then mesachim ba. Then you can use it for schach, even when they're small, because there will not be used for reclining purposes, because since here it's thick, and it's not smooth, and their wood, their stalk is very harsh, so therefore we're going to say that in those cases, you can use it for schach. But aruga, if it's woven, then a mesachim ba. Then you cannot use it for schach, because there, stama, it would be for reclining purposes, because the when people would weave these things, generally it would only be for reclining purposes, because then it would be smooth and easy to lay on. So again, depending on what the substance is, and the size, and how it was constructed, will tell us what is the stama. Again, something that's large, generally we'll assume it's lesichuch. If it's small, then it's more likely that it's going to be used for reclining purposes. And therefore, regarding, let's say, something that's soft, like shifa and gemi, so we'll say it's going to be l'shchiva, it will be possible schach. Regarding kanim and chilas, even when they're small, depends on how they're made. If they're made gedula, so then it's braided, then it's not so convenient to be used for reclining, we'll say stama is not l'shchiva, it's still for schach. But if it's woven, then you cannot use it. He says the name of his father. He says, no, achazu uve achazu, whether they were braided, whether they were woven, mesachimba, you can use it for schach. And again, in these cases of konim and chilas. And the reason is because stama will say it's not l'shchiv, it's not soft like we had in the case of shifa and gemi. These are harder. And since they're harder, even if you're making it in a woven type of way, still we're going to assume that it's not something made for reclining purposes, hence it's not a kli, it's not makabal tuma, and therefore you can use it for schach. Similarly, Rabbi Yisrael agreed to Rabbi Yisi that the same thing halacha would apply, that regarding these cases of konim, those reeds and the sedge, that they're very hard, and therefore people generally don't use them for reclining purposes, even when they're small, even when they're being woven, and therefore you can use it for schach. Now, the Gemara introduces Tanan Hasim, we learned over there in the Mishnah, in Masechtas Idyos, which will come into relation to what we just ended off with, which Reb Deisa agreed to Reb Yasi, which the Gemara will ultimately bring from this discussion, which talks about the topic we're discussing of machzalis, of mats, regards to their validity for schach, that seems to be a contradiction in Reb Deisa's opinions. So it says over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Idyos, it says, Kol ha-chaitzalis, all chaitzalis, which the Gemara later on will explain the machleik is exactly what are chaitzalis, they are metam and tamei meis. They could contract a tumma from a corpse. Now, what this opinion is saying is that generally they're assumed to be kalim, vessels, these chaitzalis, and therefore they're makabal tumma. Now, Rashi explains the reason why there's many different types of tumma that one can acquire. The reason why we pick tumas mes, which is acquiring a tumma from a corpse, is because we want to differentiate between tumas mes, between basically all types of tumas, and the tumma of medrash, which is also not a tumma. So therefore, we also chose for the other side of the coin, that of tumas mes, which is also not a tumma. Now, what we meant to say basically was that chaitzalis are considered a kli to mekabel tuma, but they're not a kli in the sense of being designated for reclining purposes, which is the criteria besides the fact that it has to be some type of a kli, but it also has to be fit for reclining purposes to be an avatuma of medrash zav when a zav reclines on it. So therefore here what we're saying is that these chaitzalis, according to the first opinion that Mishnah Masechtas Idyos, that although they're mekabel tuma because they're a kli, but however they're not going to be a kli for the tuma of medrash zav. And therefore, since you don't find the nava tuma regarding an item being mekabel tuma, which is, for example, in this case of chaitzalis, only through a mess itself, therefore we say that we pick the case of the contrast of a tumas mess and that of the medrash, but it really applies to all types of tuma. The chaitzalis will be mekabel tuma. Div Reb Deisa, that's the opinion of Reb Deisa. The Chamayim, however, the Cham say that medrash. They say that through the pushing of the weight of the Zav, which if, let's say, he reclines in it, it becomes an avatoma because it is made for reclining these chaitzalis. So that's the machlokes we have in that Mishnah in Masechtas Idyos. Now, the Gemara first asks, on the opinion of the Chachamim, medrash in, are you telling me that, look, Reb Deisa says that, look, these chaitzalis, they're kalim, they're makabotoma, and therefore, if, let's say, a mess, they'll be able to mekabel tuma, but medrash zav, azav, they won't be, it's not meant for reclining purposes. Chum say, medrash it'll be mekabel tuma. So it sounds like medrash in tmei meis loy, that you're telling me that it'll be able to contract tuma from the weight of a zav, but it won't get become tuma if a mess touches it. But v'anan t'nam, we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Nida that says, kol matame medrash, whatever acquires tuma from medrash, which means to say when the weight of a zav is reclining on it, metame tmei meis will automatically contract tumma from a mess, and similarly regarding all tummas of all types of what's called tummas maga. For example, if a sheretz touches it or a nevela touches it. Now, the reason why I just said that if it's mekabel tummas medrash, it's mekabel tumma mess, is again that same idea because they're on the same category of being an ava tumma. Now, what the Mishnah Masechtas Nida was saying was that whatever could become an ava tumma through medrash will become an ava tumma. For example, also if a tumay mace, if a mess touches it. Now, there is no medrash of tuma only if it's designated for reclining purposes. That's the only way it could become tumas medrash. Now, since it already has utility, it's a recliner, it's a bed, whatever it is, it's a chair, therefore it becomes tumas medrash, so it's already a kli. Now, therefore the logic of that Mishnah Masechtas Nida is saying that whatever is a kli for medrash, hence it's going to mekabel any tuma, even if it's what's called pshuti kliyeis, which is generally a wooden utensil that has no receptacle. It's not mekabel tuma, but the Gemara Masechtas Shabbos learns that from mekabel chaymer that how do you know that a mat could be mekabel tumas mess? And there it says a kol shekein that if it's going to have tuma of medrash because it could be used for reclining, definitely it's going to mekabel tuma of all the other tumas maga, let's say in the case of tumay mace. So therefore, essentially what the Gemara's question is that how can you say medrash, which sounds like only medrash, not what Reb Deisa said of tumas mess, but if you're getting medrash, the Mishnah Masechtas Nida says automatically you're getting tumas mess. Now, The Mishnah over there at the end of Masechtas Nida explains, now, if it is always that you mekabel tumas mess, if you're tumas medrash, so, however, but it's saying that it's the contrast that's important to say, but you could have something that will be mekabel tumas mess, but not be mekabel tumas medrash. And that would be, for example, a vessel where, if it's not designated for reclining purposes, although it's mekabel to all other types of tumah, however, tumas medrash, it will not be mekabel because even if the zav lays on it, but if he's not touching it, so there's no tumas maga, it's going to be tahar because such a thing that if it's not designated for reclining purposes, they tell him, look, get up, this thing is not meant for reclining purposes, we have to use our work for it, and therefore, in such a case, it actually will not be mekamel tumas medrash. So, however, although that could be that you could have tumas mess, all other types of tumas maga, and not tumas medrash if it wasn't meant for reclining purposes, however, what says clearly over there is that if it is mekabel tumas medrash, it will be mekabel tumas mess. So how do we understand the opinion of the Chachamim? On that, the Gemara says, Ema af medrash. What the Chachamim meant to say was, also tumas medrash. In other words, yes, they're a kli, and that's why Reb Deisa, we don't argue in Reb Deisa, it will be mekabel tumas mess. However, what's moreover is that it's even meant for reclining purposes, and since it's meant for reclining purposes, that's why it also mekabel tumas medrash. Where on that, Reb Deisa says not, you could have something that's mekabel tumas mess and not medrash, which Reb Deisa holds, these chatzalas have that halacha that they're not mekabel tumas medrash because they're not meant for reclining. Now the Gemara has my chetzalas. Now we said that it's going to be debated what is this interpretation of this term in the Mishnah Masechtas Idyos. So what is this chetzalas? Some Rav Avdimi Bahamduri, he says it's marzoivle. So the Gemara has my marzoivle. Some Rav Abba says it's mezavle, which these are leather bags where the shepherds would use them and they would put it under their head to lay on them. Therefore, that's where there was this discussion regarding, are they also medrash? Is it something to be reclined on like the chachamim? Or is it just a leather bag, which is a clay kibble, so it's mekabel tumas mes, but however, b'deisa held that's not considered something that's designated for reclining, and therefore it's not mekabel tumas medrash. P'shem b'lakha shreima, he says machtsalas mamash. It means literally mats. And these mats are debated if they're meant just to be mekabel things, hence the mekabel tumas mes, like b'deisa, or are they meant even for reclining purposes like the chachamim? Now the Gemara tells of other Rish Lakish like Tamei. Actually, Rish Lakish goes according to his opinion mentioned elsewhere in this, how he's interpreting this Machlekes in the Mishnah Masechtas Idyos. Dam Rish Lakish, because Rish Lakish had said, Hareini Kaparis, I should be the atonement. In other words, all the afflictions that come upon me should be for the atonement of Reb Chiya Bana, for Reb Chiya and his sons. And this is a way of honor which mentions someone's father or his teacher after they passed away, to say this type of terminology, which for a father, for example, there's halacha of saying Hareini Kaparis Mishkav, I am the atonement for his corpse, for his body. That's the same thing that Rish Lakish was saying for his teacher. For B'chiya, he was saying that a way of introduction of saying a title of honor for his passed away Rebbe says, I am the atonement for B'chiya and his sons. Shebetchilo kishenishtacha Torah Yisrael, because originally when the Torah was forgotten from the Jewish people, Ola Ezra mebavol v'yistas, Ezra came up from Bavel, and he came up and he reinstituted the teachings of the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Chazar v'nishtacha. Then again it was forgotten. Like, so Rashi explains, actually, wasn't totally forgotten. Just there were some halachas that were forgotten from the B'nai B'seira, who they were the leaders of Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara says, M'sech t'psachem naf samach vav men alav. So, Allah hillah bavli v'yistos ha'hill, the Babylonian, he came from Bavel, and he reinstituted, he brought back the words of the Torah, as Rashi explains, because from the days that Yechaniah went into Galus, as the Pasuk says, Acherish v'amaskar imai, which is a reference to Tatimatimim the Chamim, they all went down to Bavel, and there was always the yeshiva found in Bavel, and therefore the words of Torah were never forgotten from Bavel, but from Eretz Yisrael they were forgotten. So Hillel came up from Bavel, and he brought back the Torah. Chazim v'nishtacha, again it was forgotten. So all Reb Chiya Bana b'Yisdus, Reb Chiya and his sons, they came up back and they reintroduced it. Now this just brings us up to the point of he was using this as an introduction, saying why his kaparas meshkave, how great Reb Chiya was and his sons that they brought back Torah Eretz Yisrael. And he says v'chinam Reb Chiya Banam, and so to Reb Chiya and his sons, they said regarding this halacha that we're discussing of the machzales, they said as follows: Lo nechleku Reb Deisa v'chachamim amachzal shalusha. This machlokes is between Reb Deisa and Chacham, and from here it's inherent where we see that Rish Lakish, as he's saying in a different context, that their machlokes is regarding machzalis, regarding mat, if they're only mekabel tuma, for example, tumas mes, or they're also going to mekabel tumas medrash. So we see from his qualification, as he's saying over Reb Chiya and his sons, regarding this machlokes, that we're talking about machzalis and all the other interpretation that we're talking about leather bags that the shepherds would use. So he says that Reb Deisa and Chacham did not argue regarding the mats of Usha. As we continue on to Amud Beis, why didn't they argue? Because everyone agrees, Shane Timaeus, that they are Mekabel Tuma, even the Tuma of Medrash, because in Usha, their mats are designated for reclining and not for another purpose. So therefore, they are Mekabel Tuma's Medrash. And also, they don't argue, Bishal Tveria, regarding the mats of Tveria, which are very hard and nobody reclines on it, that Shehin Tiris, that everyone would agree, both Reb Deisa and Chachamim, that they're going to be tar. Aman Nechliku, regarding what type of chaitzalis, which again Rish Lakish interprets, and this is what he's saying over B'chiya Banav, that it's going to be machlekes regarding these machzalis. If the Mekabel Tumas Medrash or not, that was Al Shama Kaimis. That was regarding the mats of other places. Marsa, Reb Deisa held, keeping the lek of the Yosef Elias, since people generally do not recline on them, most of the people, so could the Tveri Damien. So therefore they're considered like the mats of Tveri, which are very hard, that no one reclines on, and therefore they're only mekabel tumas mes, not tumas medrash. Umar sabah the chachamim held that kibin the mikra v'yasvei alayis, since it happens that people recline in them and therefore they designate them for that utility to be for reclining purposes. So then kedusha damya, that's where they hold that all other mats, even though it's not many of the people, but there are some, therefore they are considered like those of usha, which are for reclining purposes, and therefore it will be mekabel tumas medrash. And again, this just shows how this is Rish Lakish's opinion, as is mentioned elsewhere, the same idea that chaitzalis means machzalis. Now the Gemara concludes why I introduced this discussion, this Mishnah Masechtas Idyos. So Amamar, we quoted before in the Mishnah Masechtas Idyos, that kol ha-chaitzalis, all these chaitzalis, which again, according to the interpretation of Rish Lakish, was a reference to machzalis, Mitamed teme meis de Reb Deiser. Reb Deiser held that, yes, it's not going to be kabbal tumas medras, because they're not meant for reclining, as we just explained. We qualified that generally they're not used for reclining. There is not going to be kabbal tumas medras, but these chaitzalis, which mean machzalis, these mats, will be makabal tumas medras, they're a kli. But Tanya, but we learned in the Braisa on Amid Aleph, that said, b'chein ha-Reb Deiser oimer k'dvar, that also Reb Deiser said like his words, which that was the end of the Braisa, in the context which Reb Deiser had said, zu v'zu mesachembar. Basically said that, no, there is no difference how it was made, if it was woven or if it was braided. Either way, when you're talking about mats, even if they're small, since they're hard, you can use them for schach. So obviously that we see that it's not a kli to be mekabel tumah, and that's why it's kosher to be used for schach. So what is the halacha? Are machtzalis, general machtzalis, according to the opinion of Reb Deiser, are they fit to be schach, which would mean that they're not going to be a kli to mekabel tumah, which is how it sounds like he's saying in the Braisa, or is it how he says in the Mishnah Masech Desidius, that generally that they will be mekabel tumas mes, and hence they're unfit to be used for schach? What is the halacha? This seems to be a contradiction in Reb Deiser's opinion. But the Gemara says, loy kasha. It's not a contradiction. Because the Mishnah Masech Desidius is talking about the isle gedanfa. And these mats have a type of a rim that's going around the mat that's elevated a little bit to receive, to maintain things that are inside on top of the mat, which is made to put fruit on top of that, and therefore it's makabel tumah. And yes, in such a case, you're right, it wouldn't be kosher for schach. But the Braisa is talking about the less like a danfa that doesn't have a rim that goes around, and therefore it's not even a vessel, and therefore it's used for sichuch purposes, which was the same thing as halacha, as Reb Yaseh, because since it's not meant for reclining, as Reb Deiser's opinion was, that he holds that these things are never meant for medras. The only thing is if they're mekabel tumah because of a kli, that would depend if it has that rim or not. And that is in the Mishnah, in the Mishnah Masech Des Idyas, when it says that it will be mekabel tumas mes, that we consider it a kli if it has a rim. If it has a rim, then of course it's not going to be kosher for schach. And the Braisa, when he said like Reb Yaseh, that all types of these mats are going to be considered kosher for schach, are talking about when they have no rim. If they have no rim, so what's it fit for? It's not going to be, it's not used for reclining purposes, as we saw, that's Reb Deiser's opinion. And it's not a kli, doesn't have a receptacle because it has no rim, so it's not makabel tumah, so therefore then it's going to be kosher to be used for schach. Now the Gemara asks Meisvit. The Gemara asks from the following Braisa on Rish Lakish's interpretation, which we were going with now when we asked the contradiction of Reb Deiser's opinions, in his explanation of Chaitzalis, that he said that was a reference to Machzalis, to mats. Not like the other pin that says it was a reference to these leather bags. The Braisa says as follows. Chaitzalis, again using the same terminology of Chaitzalis, Shalsham, which is a certain type of shipa, which is a rush, or Vishalgemi, some type of a waterside plant, Vishalsak, which is made out of goat's hair, Vishal Svira, which is the hair from the neck and from the tail of a horse, Mitame Tmei Meis. These types of chaitzalis can contract tumas mes, but not of medris, because they are a kli, but they're not used for reclining purposes, so therefore it's mekabel tumas mes, but not tumas medris. Divrei Deiser, that's opinion of Reb Deiser. The Chachamim, they argue af medris, as we saw, that they argue and say that it will even mekabel tumas medris is meant for reclining. Now, the Gemara asks as follows. Bishlem lemanda amar, we can very well understand according to the interpretation that says the chaitzalis are mazoivlei. So therefore you could say by all these different items that, let's say according to Reb Deiser, that yes, if they're not made for reclining purposes, but we can still consider them a kli because they have other utility. So therefore Reb Deiser could hold that they're makabel tumas mes, but not reclining, because although they're made not for reclining, they're made for some other type of usage. How? Shalsham v'shalgemi, for example, for the case of these soft type of plants, where even though they're not woven very well and there's very large gap between the different holes, the different heddles, how it's woven together, but still chazul akin to the peri, it's still fit for use for transporting the produce, where are very large produce, which they don't fall through the holes. Similarly, shal sak v'shal svir, the other two cases of the goats here and from the horses here, where they're woven very well together, then chazul gulke v'tzani, then it's fit for these types of sacks, which are even for smaller things like kidneys, beans, and small types of like barley, small types of produce. Therefore, we could understand, according to that opinion, that they're sacks. Those are what chetzalas are. We could understand how these materials can be fit for a kli kibul and be mekabel tumah, although they're not fit for climbing purposes, like Reb Deiser's opinion. But El Mando Amen Machzalis Mambish, Brokon Drish Lakish, that he interprets Chitzalis means Machzalis, which means that they're mats, which means they're flat and there is no receptacle to them. So Bishlam Mishal Sak Vishal Svi, we could understand, let's say, half of the case. We could understand the case of the goats here and from the horses here, according to Abdesa, that although that they're not made for reclining purposes, because or else it would be Mekalbot Tumas Medrash, which Reb Deisa holds that they're not, because Chazi Lefrasi, we can understand that they're fit for to be, let's say, a curtain to hang up in front of the opening, and Venavaso to be a sieve, which there's a way of then sifting the flour as it is, because what they would do is they would put the coarse flour on this item, which we're talking about either the horses here or the goats here, then they would fold it over, tie it in a knot, and then bang it out, and then the thinner item would come out, and the more coarse would stay up on top. So now we could understand very well that that would be considered kli, even though there's no clay kibble, because you could fold it up and do that process. But el shal sham b'shal gemi l'may chazu, but those types of plans, what are they fit for, according to Reb Deisa, if he's saying that they're not meant for reclining purposes, so why would it contract any tum, which he says is mekabel tumas mes? What utility does it have if it doesn't have receptacle? Nothing more says, it's not a difficulty according to Shlokish, because chazul and nazyasa, yes, it's talking about mats, but it's fit to use as a cover for the beer kegs where they would make these vats, they would make the beer in. These types of coverings made out of shamagemi are appropriate for there, and that's the utility that it has, and that's why it's considered kli to mekabel tuma. But that's even though they're machtelis, that they have no clay kibble. Ikadami, that those who say the discussion we just had was not used as to pose a contradiction on Rish Lakish, but rather as on the other opinion, that of Rav Dimi. As the Gemara says, that Bish Mamish, we could understand the opinion of Rish Lakish, that he says, what are chitzalais? They mean literally mats. So we could understand the brayso that we just brought, that Shalsham Bishal Gemi Chatul Nazyasa, the case of these types of plants, they're fit to be used as the cover for the beer. Shasak Vishal Sviram, the horses here and the goats here, Chazul Lefrasim and Avasa, that's fit to be used as a curtain and it's fit to be used as a sieve. But according to the other opinion, who says that they would type of these leather bags, so Bishle Mishal Sak Vishal Sphere. So we could understand the case of the goats here and the horses here, that what utility do they have, according to Abdaisa, even though it's not used for reclining, he argues on the Chum, Chazle Gulke Bitsani, that they're fit to be used as these type of sacks. Elishal Sham Mishal Gemil Maychaz, what type of sack is a fit to have for Shama Gemi, where they have such large holes, if you were to be making a sack out of that, what utility do they have? And why would they be Mekabel Tum if they're not meant for reclining, according to Reb Deisa? And the Gemara says, as we had mentioned in the first version, Chazul Kinta de Peri, they're fit for baling produce, that for the large produce, even though there's large holes between the weavings, it's still fit for the utility, and therefore it's not difficult on any opinion in what Chatzalus means, if it means these Mazavli, if it's these types of sacks, these type of bags, or it's like Rish Lakish, that it means mats. So Gemara brings a story related to this discussion. That Tanya learned the Braisa. Chananya said, who he was the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, he said, Kishiradati Lagaila, when I went down into Golis, into Bavel, where, as the Gemara explains, that he went to Gaila to intercalculate the years, the Gemara says, Mesechtas Brachas, Navsamachim Lamed Aleph, says, Metzasi Zakin Echad, I found an elder person, Vamali, and he told me, Mesachachin Babudja, that we can go ahead and cover a sukkah, its schach, with mats. Ukashabasi Isler Bishua Achiah. But when I came to Bishua, my father's brother, my uncle, he agreed to his opinion, and that's because generally they're made for sichuch, and they're not made to be a kli for any other utility. And again, that's like we said before in the opinion of Reb Deisa that was brought in the previous Braisa, like Reb Yasi, that one can use these machzalis for mats. Now, the qualification is, as we had used to resolve the contradiction of Reb Deisa himself, the Amr of Chizda, he says, Vuhu, the less the Gedanfa. But that's only if it doesn't have that rim around it. Because if it has that rim, then it would be like Reb Deisa in the Mishnah in Idias, where then he holds that the mats are Makabotama and therefore unfit. And that would depend again if it has these rims. Because since they're not meant for reclining purposes, so it's not Makabotama on that level of Medrash, it also will depend if it's Makabot other Tuma to be invalid or valid for Schach, depending if it has the rim or not. If it doesn't have the rim, then it's like that Zakan had said that one can use mats for a sukkah because it's not a kli, and hence it's kosher because it grows from the ground to be used as schach. Now, related to this, Amar Ula, he says, Hani b'dyasa d'bnei mechuzah, these mats of the people of mechuzah, Il Mali Kirshalin, if not for their gedanfa, if not for their rim that they had around their mats, Mesachim, who again, as we said before, they would be able to use it for schach, again, because one can use the mats because they're not makabal to medrash, and if there's no rim, they're not makabal any other tumah either, because then they're not a kli, they're not a receptacle. Tanya Mahalachi, similar in the Braisa. Mesachim Bebudji, one can use schach out of a mat. But if it has a rim, then one cannot use it for schach again, as we said, because then it's a clay kibble, it can contain the produce that's on top of it, and then it's mekabel tumah, and therefore you cannot use it as schach. Hadin lach sukkah, we shall return to you the first parak of Masechta Sukkah, parak sukkah shehi gevoya. Now we begin the second parak of Masechta Sukkah, again continuing the theme of the first parak, which talks about primarily the halachas of a sukkah and about fulfilling one's chiyuvim in a sukkah. So the Mishnah begins. Hayashan tachas amita besukkah. We're getting the second parak called Hayashan tachas amita. If someone sleeps underneath a bed in a sukkah, so the Tanna Kamma says, Leyotzi de chivasa, he has not fulfilled his obligation of sleeping in a sukkah. And the reason is because there is another oil, that of the bed itself, which is a tent, that separates between him and the sukkah. So he's not in the sukkah, he's in the tent of the bed. Now, the reason why it said Hayashan is because the primary yeshivos of the sukkah, of the fulfillment of the chiyuv of mitzvah sukkah, is eating, drinking, and sleeping. And that's why it said the case, the more applicable case of being underneath a bed would be that of sleeping. Hence, one would not be fulfilling his chiyuv of being in the sukkah by sleeping underneath the bed. However, Amar Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Noigim hayinu, we accustom ourselves, shahayinu yishenim tachas hamit b'fnei azkenim, we used to sleep underneath beds in front of the elders, the Talmid HaChacham, v'loy amr lo nadaver, and they never told us anything. And the reason will be explained in the Gemara, that why is it kosher? Why did the Zakenim not say anything? Because an oil aroi, a temporary oil, which is what a bed is not permanent, it's usually moved around when you're eating the meal, it's not there anymore, cannot be mavatl, cannot undo and nullify the oil kavua in this, at least relatively, that the sukkah is more permanent, that's there for all 7 days, hence one is still in the oil of the sukkah, and it's not considered like he's in the oil aroi of the bed. However, Reb Shimon said, arguing under Yehuda, he says, Maisa b'tavi avdish Reb Gamliel. There was a story with Tavi, who is the servant of Reb Gamliel, shayyashin tachas amitu, who he would sleep underneath the bed. V'amalhen Reb Gamliel, the Zekein Reb Gamliel, told to the Zekeinim, the Talmid Chacham, he says, Re'isim Tavi Avdai Shehu Talmid Chacham, look at Tavi, my slave, and Eved Kanani, who he was a non-Jew, who was sold to a Jew, that look at him, what a Talmudic scholar he is. The Yedeya, he knows, Shavadim B'tur Min HaSukkah, he knows that slaves are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. And the reason is because the mitzvah of sukkah is what's called a mitzvah sazeh shazman gerama. It's a time-bound mitzvah. It's not at all times, which women are exempt from. Now, whatever mitzvah a woman is exempt from, us Evet Kanani is also exempt from, as Gemara says in Masech Tzchagigin, Nafdal Raman Aleph. Lefikach yashnu tachas amita. That's why he's sleeping underneath the bed. He's making more room for everyone else. And he's also illustrating this halacha that he doesn't have to sit and sleep in the sukkah. Now, that is what Reb Shimon says, and according to our derech, and that is our appropriate understanding, we learn, and what he's using, that interesting terminology, is that even though Reb Gamliel didn't tell us for halachic purposes, he was just talking, and he was saying how smart his slave is, and he was just joking around, and he was saying, look what a Talmid Chacham is, but we learned from his jest, we understood shahayosh and tachas amita liyatsudei chavasi. Obviously, if someone sleeps underneath the bed, he's not fulfilling his obligation. And that's why he was joking and say, look at my slave. He's underneath the bed because he realized he doesn't have to be in the sukkah. But obviously, one would not. Again, not like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that one would fulfill. You see, obviously, from Reb Gamliel, that one would not fulfill his obligation if he was sleeping or eating and drinking underneath the bed in the sukkah. Now, the Gemara first asked on the opening of the Mishnah, which this was this halacha of sleeping underneath a bed, which there were those opinions that wanted to say that one does not fulfill his obligation, but the Gemara asks an elementary question, Volek Asara, but there is not a height of 10 tefachim from the ground to the top of the bed, hence, even if someone is in underneath the bed, that's not even an oil in the first place. An oil is only if there's a gap of 10 tefachim that it's covering, then you're in somewhat of an oil, and then you could debate if that would be that you're in the sukkah or underneath the bed, but if it's not 10 tefachim, what's the problem? Now the Gemara answers, Tirgum Shmuel. Shmuel interpreted the case of our Mishnah, sleeping underneath a bed, b'mita asar, with a bed that has a height of 10 tefachim, and therefore it could be considered an oil. And that was the machlokes, if one is sleeping underneath the bed, if that's a problem because you're in the oil of the bed and not in the oil of the sukkah. Now the Gemara introduces a discussion regarding the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which will then it will bring back to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that's mentioned in our Mishnah, where he holds that one could sleep underneath the bed in the sukkah and it's not a problem. So Gemara says, Tnan Hasam. We learned over there in the Mishnah in Masechtas Alos, where there it mentions the items that bring tumah, and that is the halacha of what's called oil, which is tumas oil. If one is in the same oil, the same canopy, room, house as a corpse, that will transmit tumah to everything in that oil. So related to this, the Mishnah says in Masechtas Alos that echad chayr, any type of hole, whether shecharu mayim, whether it's water that made that hole, for example, if let's say it was a high bank on the river and the water was going underneath and entering in, which it made a hole by virtue of the water flowing in over there, or shrotzim, or whether it's the small creatures that made it, for example, a weasel or a mole, or shechalotu malachas, or if it was just that the earth was salty and therefore the earth cracked open on its own, or v'chem midvachavanim, or maybe if let's say it was a stack of rocks, where if one has a stack of bricks or rocks which are one on top of the other, where sometimes you can have one on top of two, and the two underneath it, which are next to each other, but there is still a gap, and there would be a space, in this context, a oil of a tefach, or v'chein svar shel kairis, or if one has also a pile of beams which are one on top of the other from the ground going up, where you have one on top of the other, and that you have these beams for building purposes, but there's gaps between them when they're piled up, which again creates an area of an oil. So all these items, if there's a kezias of a corpse in this, quote, oil, which is made by these gaps, either through water or through moles or whatever it is that made a hole on one side, and you have a keli on the other side, then mail alatuma, this cavity that you have, at least the size of a tefach, will have the halacha of oil for tumah, and therefore that other item that's also in the same vicinity of this gap, of this hole that there was made, will also contract the tumah of oil ameis, because there's at least a kezias of a meis which will transmit that tumah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he argues, and he says, kol oil shein asur b'di adam, any oil, any tent, any covering, which was not made with kavana, with the intention of mankind to make it into an oil, in oil, then therefore it does not have a lach of oil to be able to transmit tumas oil in all these cases, even those which are made by people, which are putting up, stacking up the beams, but they weren't made for the intention to make that oil, then it's not going to transmit the tumas of oil because it wasn't made by the adam with kavan. So they're going to ask my time to Yehuda, what's the reason to Yehuda? Where do we find that it has to be made with kavan to be an oil? So that the Gemara continues on to Chaf Aleph Amad Aleph. Yolof oil, oil mi mishkan. He learns from the terminology of oil, regarding halachas of Tumas Ames, by the halachas that were mentioned by the Mishkan. Ksiv hach, it says over here by the pasuk by Tumas Oil, it says a pasuk by Midbar, Zayis had Tayru Adam Kiyamas Boil. These are the halachas of a person that dies in the tent. The Ksiv, it says over there by the Mishkan, where Hasam, it says over there in Sefer Shemais, it says, Vayifreis es ha'oil al Mishkan, that he was spread out the oil, which was a type of covering, that on the Mishkan. Now, ma'ala halam b'di adam, just like over there was done by mankind, again with the intention of creating it as an oil. Avkam b'di adam, so here also where it says the same term oil by the halachas of Tumas Mes, it also has to be the same thing made by mankind with the intention to make an oil, which is not like those cases which they're not made with the intention, even those that are made by man, to be made for an oil. Rabbanan, what's with Rabbanan? Oil, it says many times in the parsha of Parah, it says, oil many times, riba, that comes to include even a type of oil which was made by itself. So yes, although there would be exer shav if it said one time, but since it says many times, what are the multiplicity of the terms of oil said for to include other types of oil, which is even those that are not made by mankind, still it's going, even though it's made by itself, we have just water running, still it's an oil, it will transmit the tumas of oil.